Hey, hey, Soul Tribe, welcome back. This is episode 1.5 of Beyond Deconstructing. I am your host, T. Jamaica Pogue, affectionately known as Deconstructing Neuro. And on today's episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Lilith Butler, also known as Fierce Liberation. And this was one of my favorite conversations so far. I have been loving the journey that we've been on together so far with Beyond Deconstructing. But I'm going to have to play favorites here and say that this conversation really excited me because I have had an interest in tying my complete journey, like bring it full circle to how I got here with understanding autism and understanding my brain. And although I, like many other people, many other autistic people and many other people that I spoke with, have a lot of trauma from childhood that I've worked through and that has helped me to connect a lot of dots about myself and about my autism and the way it presents, the biggest catalyst for me came through my journey through spirituality. And so this conversation that I had with Lilith, we really touched on our shared journeys with spirituality. Lilith is a doctor of Chinese medicine and acupressure, and she also has had one-hand experience with other Eastern medicine as well. And so we really connected first through TikTok, like many of the people that I've spoken with so far. But then once we had an opportunity to speak offline, we really connected over our shared experiences, shared understandings and realizations about the spiritual world and how it is very grounded and how a lot of our autistic traits, we kind of latched onto spiritual and esoteric and external explanations to try to explain away very internal experiences. So I'm going to stop with the plug at this point and just dive right into the meat and potatoes of this conversation. Also, want to preface this by saying that this is part one because we will be chatting again soon. So this is going to be a slightly shorter episode than you guys are used to, but this is just part one. Again, I'm hyping it up because it deserves hype, in my opinion. I think this is a really refreshing conversation. I haven't stumbled upon many people talking about this, but it is a conversation that is much needed and that I'm very, very happy to bring. So without further ado, let's go. Thank you guys so much for coming back and joining me today. I am super excited for today's guest. I have Dr. Lilith Butler with me today, and I'm going to turn it over to her to introduce herself and let you guys know who she is, what she does, and all that good stuff. Take it away.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here today. I am Dr. Lilith Butler. I'm a doctor of Chinese medicine. I do acupuncture, craniosacral, along with various other healing modalities. I've been studying healing for about 15 years. I also do coaching as well. My primary focus and mission in life is to help people liberate themselves from anything that stands in the way of them being authentically themselves. So that is my personal mission for myself, which really ties into embracing my neurodivergency and helping other people do that as well. And that's also my mission in my career and in life.
That's awesome. And I can really tell that by your TikTok name, it's Fierce Liberation, right? Mm-hmm. And so that definitely kind of encapsulates what you just said there. And I came across your page, or your page came across my For You page on TikTok, and I instantly connected because we share a lot of understandings. And even though on the surface, our life experiences may seem different, in previous conversations, we know we have a lot in common. And so what I would love to hear is if you can share with my audience a little bit of your experience with understanding and coming to realize that you are autistic and have ADHD and what that journey has been like for you so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to share. The journey has been a wild one. I mean, I knew and felt from when I was a young kid that I was very different from everyone else. And I actually grew up in a really secluded religious cult. And so when I came out of that, I just thought like, oh, it's just the trauma of being in the cult. And I'm just so different because I was cut off from regular society. So like all of my autistic and ADHD traits, I just attributed to trauma and my upbringing, basically. And it wasn't until in like 2020, I kind of came to this place in my healing journey where like I was able to, like my nervous system was finally at rest. Like I was in an environment that was completely safe. I had done just years and years and years of like healing, learning how to regulate my nervous system on a regular basis. And my ADHD and autistic traits increased. They got like so much louder because they were finally safe to me louder. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was like my trauma and my, you know, my fight or flight fawn responses that were like suppressing who I actually was, and like kind of keeping me in line or in check and like in, just kind of like in the box of normativity, if you will, at least in appearances. And at the same time in 2020, I also hit this like really, really massive burnout. And it was really scary because I've never been in a place like that before where I didn't have like the internal resources to take care of myself in almost any way. Like the only things that I was really able to do were in relation to making money that I needed to like sustain my son and I and providing for my son, like doing, you know, I was able to like help him brush his teeth and take a bath and eat, but like I wasn't able to do those things for myself. And I was like very, very confused, like what the hell is going on with me? What's wrong with me? And so I started like just really digging into, you know, the symptoms, the traits that I was experiencing, and the symptoms of autistic burnout kind of showed up. And my dad and I haven't had a relationship like growing up, but as an adult, we've kind of reconnected, and he is autistic, and many people like on his side of the family are also autistic. And so that kind of came up like in conversation, and he was like, you know, you do act a lot like me. you know, do like all the things that we do share are like really autistic traits. And so I started looking more seriously into it and researching about it, taking all of the online tests I could, you know, come across over and over and over, compiling my binder and, you know, just like getting together, like all the information and like digging in and kind of trying to come to terms with it myself. Like, what does this mean for my life moving forward? What does this mean for my past and my present? And I eventually like went to a doctor after being in a state where I was just kind of, I just like didn't know, I didn't know what was going on or how to move forward. And she basically just gave me like validation. She was like, look, we can go through a whole, like you could pay and you could go through a whole evaluation, or if it's like really just like the external validation that you need, I'm here, like I'm giving you that. I see what you're dealing with and what you have dealt with your whole life. And I see that it corresponds completely with autism. And so that was really helpful because I felt like I really just like needed someone to validate my experience. But I also, like, she had kind of walked me through the pros and cons of getting formally diagnosed, and it just didn't make logic. Like, I was done with school. I have a son who I share custody with. And so, like, there were a lot of logistical things that just wouldn't make sense for me to actually be formally diagnosed. So that's kind of how things happened.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your candor and walking us through your journey there. And I know we spoke before about this and kind of like both being late diagnosed and self-diagnosed. Mm-hmm. You actually touched on something that has been a topic of discussion, at least for myself a lot lately, is just not going through with getting a formal diagnosis. So at one point, I never even considered getting a formal diagnosis. And I only started to consider that because of the situation I was put into at work, where I had reached burnout and I knew that I no longer could mask and survive in an office environment. And so I asked to work from home, and I was told that we are not going to make any accommodations for you unless you have an ADA form. And so then I was like, okay, well, then I have to go and get a formal diagnosis so that I can get the ADA form signed. But once I took the time away from work and started going to therapy and then working on the anxiety and being actually officially diagnosed with generalized anxiety and ADHD, started taking medicine for that. Some of my anxiety has gone down a bit, but I'm still able to, like, I still ruminate and I think over things. And it's a good thing that I do, because what I started to do is realize that, is it even worth me putting myself through going through this whole stressful ordeal and getting this label on me that at this point, the official label is only going to make my life, is only going to greatly restrict my life. For a place that has already told me that they don't respect me and they don't actually care about me, because even though I gave them ample information as to why I need this, their answer was just, no, we don't care. That's when I decided to say, hey, you know what? My self-diagnosis is valid. I know I'm autistic. I don't need anyone else to tell me this. And also, because of the way autism is currently seen, it is no benefit for me to sack myself with a label. But that brings up the point. That's my long way of bringing up this point of why I'm doing deconstructing neurodivergence, is because autism is only such a bad thing or a label because of the way it's currently defined. And yeah. It leaves out women like you and I. It leaves out women a lot. But it also leaves out women like you and I who are highly accomplished. Like, someone would see a doctor, you know, someone who was able to go through their doctorate, go through school, and present pretty quote unquote normally. And then I'm sure you, and I would love to hear some of your experience with this, have experienced so many people just like doubting that you are actually autistic, and they'll cite your accomplishments as their reasoning as to why you just can't be. Dive a little bit into that for us, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that definitely happens, where they use my accomplishments as like evidence of their invalidation. But it also happens where they use it as like a tool for just invalidating how hard it is for me. Like, yeah, I've accomplished a lot, but like, I kind of killed myself doing it. You know, it was really, really, really hard. And that the fact that I was able to do it, it seems like in people's eyes, kind of negates like the experience that I had while doing it. And that's really hard. And it's really lonely is what it feels like. It feels like no one really like sees which I think is a pretty common autistic experience as well, especially being undiagnosed, like that sense of like, no one in the world understands what I'm actually going through, and no one even cares to try. That's like an experience that I've had growing, like, you know, throughout my life. And being openly autistic has kind of been part of that. And it's taken like just a lot of internal, which is something I'd like to speak to you about as well and hear from you. Like, I feel that it's taken me so much internal work to just like fully accept and validate myself, because I have learned that other people are not going to do that for me. I got so lucky with the doctor that I met with, like, mm-hmm. so lucky. And a lot of the people that I interact with, like, don't do that. And so it's like really having to be my own anchor and in order to like withstand the, you know, the gaslighting, I guess. And it's been hard and kind of a thing that I've been struggling. Like, I learned I was autistic over a year ago, but it's only been in the last couple months that I've been like really open about it and really embracing what that actually means for me and really actually accommodating myself, because the internal gaslighting has been so intense, because I'll have a good day or a good moment, or I'll do something like normally, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be like, maybe I'm not autistic. I'm making all this up. This is, you know, I'm just being crazy. I'm just looking for an excuse, whatever it is, you know, just like all of the things that I heard from other people growing up have become like my internal dialogue that I've been having to just like really battle over the last year or so to get to a place of just accepting who I am and standing in it, regardless of what people have to say or feel about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. It took me a while to get to the point where I would just claim autistic and not use other little like euphemisms or workaround language. Cause like, yeah, I realized that I was autistic probably about a year before I started talking about it online. Mm-hmm. And even when I did start talking about it online, it was more so from a perspective of me just like venting and not necessarily like being super open about like the struggles that I was going through. It was more me venting about like, oh, all these things that I was realizing about neurotypical people and their culture and how it's so different from me. But I still didn't really open up about like how I do struggle and how some things that I do cause me to be in a certain place, you know, taking that accountability. So I think the biggest thing for me was removing the shame and the external. So, okay. Validation, right? There's two different kinds of external validation, in my opinion. There's the external validation that people seek because they do not have any kind of internal validation. And then there's the external validation that works to mirror what you've already started to understand about yourself, which just helps to build on your confidence. So whenever I say I don't need anyone to validate my experience, that's me saying I don't need a doctor or even anyone else outside of myself to tell me that I am autistic. But mm-hmm. the validation that I do appreciate is finding a community of people who also have the same experience, because to your point, it is a very lonely experience. A lot of the times, because people aren't very open about the struggles that they go through or that they struggle at all, we can feel like what we're going through is it's like an isolated incident. But getting online and seeing how people on the surface have such widely different lives, but underneath we're so the same, is like that validation that has really helped me, at least on this journey, to be like more confident and just be like, this is who I am. I am autistic. I do not have any shame around it, because that shame is not coming from me. That's that external societal voice that says that I should be ashamed for being different, when I see all the beautiful ways that being autistic is amazing. And I'm going to latch onto that. Yes, we struggle, but I feel like a lot of our struggles are due to the way the society is and not because it's inherent to autism.
Absolutely. I can't agree more with that. And speaking to like the validation, I completely see what you're talking about with the two different kinds. And it feels like one is like validation to just like tell me that I'm okay and accepted, right? And the other one is like confirmation and encouragement of like who I am. It's like, it's just has so much more empowerment in it. And being online and being able to share experiences and realize like these, it's just so wild. Every time I post something that I think is just so, I'm like, I have to be the only one that deals with this. And then I post it and there's like, oh my God, me too. And it's just like, it's so interesting to see how ununique we are, but like, we're also so unique in the expression of these things, but it's like, the level of community and camaraderie and support is so incredible and so beautiful. And I wanted to mention like one of the things about really accepting myself as autistic and like being a part of the autistic community is I think that I've carried this like, I don't know if it was like trauma or belief or something like that, that I'm never actually accepted or part of a group. Like I've never felt like I could be a part of a community, even like the LGBTQ community. Like I, for whatever reason, probably just from life experiences, I always just felt like no matter what, I stand on the outside. And it was the same thing with the autistic community for a long time. And I feel like this is the first like group of people and community that I have actually felt like embraced and like really fully welcomed and like I'm actually a part of. And yeah. I don't know if I can relate to that at all, but it's been really interesting for me to like observe in my life. I'm like, wow, this is the first time I actually feel like, wow, I'm like somewhere I belong, you know? It's a sense of belonging.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I completely agree with that too. Like, again, just always feeling like even if I found people that I found some similarities in, there was always something that kept me on the outskirts. And then to your point about like, even in the beginning, like of accepting your autism and trying to fit in to that niche outside of a space like TikTok, it really, I don't want to say niche, but into that space outside of a space like TikTok, it is difficult for people like us to see ourselves in that because we are overwhelmingly represented from an holistic lens, an outsider lens. And so because they see us in a very one-dimensional way and it leaves out so many people, we're not going to see ourselves reflected in the more mainstream, organizations that are focused toward autism. Whereas on platforms like TikTok, it's us. It's actually autistic people sharing their experiences and creating the boundaries for the community, right? And so it's going to actually be inclusive of us because it's like that is FUBU for us, by us, or whatnot. And so, I completely agree with you. Like, yeah, being on TikTok, and it's so weird too because people always joke about like the algorithm pin me down. But it's true though, and people come from all different areas, right? And in the very first episode, I spoke with R. Renee. She's unhinged and dysregulated. I don't know if you know her yet, but she's awesome, right? And she was going through her journey about like how she got on TikTok and she started on narcissist talk. And then it got her over to trauma talk. And then that got her over to autism talk, right? And I know too many people that have had that same trajectory. But then I started thinking, I was like, you know, it's crazy. I had a different path through the TikTok algorithm that kind of still led to the same way. I was on the spiritual talk, right? The spiritual talk led me to narcissist / trauma talk, which led me to autism talk. And I know we spoke about this before about having like spiritual beliefs and stuff like that. Kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier about like using euphemisms and things like that and not wanting to call autism. For a long time, I would like, you know, call myself an empath or a high HSP, a highly sensitive person, and even started looking into things like star seeds and stuff like that, right? And this isn't to bash anybody who believes that because I get it 100%. I literally thought I was psychic for so long before I understood what autistic pattern recognition is.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So, but like, I say all that to say, like, it's so crazy to see how even, like I said, on the surface, we may have different paths, but because the underlying things that connect us all, like we find each other somehow. And so, actually, that's what I wanted to touch on, kind of like spiritual beliefs and like, and things like that, because I know you said you're a doctor of Chinese medicine. So there's still a lot of efficacy in like spiritual practices, but I kind of wanted to get your perspective on like, moving from explaining away autism and incorporating that and under the umbrella of, okay, I'm autistic, but even though I'm autistic, I still relate to these things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that it has, it's just brought, it's like grounded it into reality. And I think in a certain kind of way, let me see if I could try to explain this. I feel like, you know, psychicness and telepathy and clairvoyance, like all of those things that we now have, you know, autistic terms to explain, like, I feel like they're the same thing. It's just a different lens of perception. And I think that each of them have certain types of information in them, because like, with like the spirituality side, like I do believe that there's intuition, but I also believe that intuition is just your nervous system and subconscious picking up on things that your conscious mind doesn't formulating like a hypothesis, or like, you know, it knows what there are things that are going on and processes that are going on that are beyond our perception, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's like you know, not of this world. It's like very much grounded in like our biology and like, you know, the way that we operate. So it's just, I feel like it's just like different ways of explaining it. And I really like to have all of the information possible. So I like studying both things and just seeing like where the overlap is and seeing like what feels most true to me. And I will say that I was trying to find myself in spiritual paths for decades, and everything, like there were so many things that I came across that really deeply resonated and was like, yeah, I do that. Yeah, I can do that. Like I see myself in that, but there was still this aspect that I just felt like was never touched until I realized I was autistic. And then it was like, whoa, okay. Now I have like a really deep understanding of how and why I operate in this world the way that I do, like a more whole picture rather than just like taking pieces of spirituality and like bringing it together and trying to make sense of it from like an ethereal kind of, you know, way. It's like more grounded in like who I am. And like, I'm not sure. I hope that this is,
It makes so much sense. I'm sitting over here nodding. I'm like, yes, yes. No, it makes so much sense because I totally understand. I went through a whole period. And again, I still have tarot cards. I don't use them as frequently as I used to, but like there was a point in time where like I leaned heavily into tarot and astrology and all these external explanations for the internal experiences that I was having. But once I understood that I was autistic and how my brain worked and the different things that I was able to do because of my systems-based thinking, then I was able to put a grounded, like empirical evidence. Like I can measure these things. These are measurable things that explain things that I used to believe were immeasurable or were supernatural. So again, like I'm not psychic. I just have really good pattern recognition, especially when it comes to people and how people interact due to my systems-based thinking. But I still don't think it's anything wrong for someone to call themselves psychic if they understand what psychic means. Same thing with an empath. You can call yourself an empath if you understand what empath means. An empath is someone who has learned to, through pattern recognition, to recognize other people's emotions and situations, usually as a trauma response from having to be hypervigilant. So you just don't have, it's not like, you know, Phoebe from Charmed, where she just has this like, you know, ability to empathically feel what other people are feeling. But to some degree, sometimes it can feel that way because unless you understand the process that's going on behind, you just could, you all you know until you know the language for it, or just, I'm speaking from my experience, so all I knew until I knew the words for it was, I just know, I have a knowing, I just know. But now I know why I know, and it makes it so much easier to like understand it and accept it.
Yeah. And I think it also makes it a lot, I'll just speak for myself, it makes it a lot easier for me to also understand and accept when my knowing has like been slightly off or like incorrect, because it's like, oh, this is a pattern recognition, the pattern malfunctioned. And it was, you know, like I think that like it can be pretty common for psychics or people who have psychic abilities to like cling to that as like a form of like validating. I don't want this to sound mean in any way, but like validating their specialness in a kind of way. So when that fails in some kind of way, then it can be like deeply damaging to the ego. Whereas I feel like when you're looking at things like intuition or even tarot cards, just as a way of communicating with your subconscious, you know, when you're looking at it from like these very like grounded, practical, like evidence-based in a way, like kind of ways, then it kind of like removes the attachment and interference of like ego and ego getting wounded. And I think you're a lot less likely to do harm to other people and to yourself when you have like, you know, a more grounded approach to it rather than just all it being, you know, bestowed upon you and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up, because something that I've been seeing, the conversation I've been seeing a lot, is about like spiritual psychosis and like people, and then also this kind of like spiritual supremacy where it's like we're special because we're star seeds, or we're special because we're this, that, and the other. And if you aren't aligned with this, then you're going to get left behind. And it's kind of easy to see how people's ego when it's so intimately attached to a belief, how it can go from being something that is innocent and pure in its purest form. You were just trying to seek answers for something that was inside you. But when you attach yourself to this label that makes you special or makes you different from other people in a supremacist way, because yes, us being autistic and us having this label does make us different. It makes us quote unquote special, but not in a supremacist way. We're just saying we diverge. But when you have a lot of these people that like cling to like, well, I am an empath or I'm a starseed or I'm this, that, and the other, I'm a channel or you know, whatever. And it's like, this is my identity now. It you can do a lot of harm to other people by gaslighting them into believing that they have to follow you, follow your way of being, when in reality, everyone's spiritual journey is individual. I feel like a lot of people, we have people that we resonate with and we're drawn toward, and we may have similar ideals, but at the end of the day, I don't think that there's one blanket way to be spiritually connected. And when you have this kind of like supremacy way of looking at it, or like we're better than, if there's any kind of hierarchy, that's when there starts to be the issue that we see. Yeah,
absolutely. And it just slipped my brain. There's a point I wanted to make. It was around me trying to find myself in these like spiritual spaces and how. Okay. I got it back. Thank you. it was about how when I was like really deep into like the spiritual stuff, to the point where I heard you say like looking for answers outside of myself, because I knew that there's something going on, but I didn't have any understanding of what. So I was trying to figure it out like so fervently. And when I attributed everything to being like spiritual and divine, like divinely orchestrated and all these things, I ended up taking a lot of responsibility for other people's really bad behavior towards me. I took responsibility for abuse. I blamed myself and my thinking and my actions for like things that I now look back and realize like that was a really shitty circumstance that I found myself in that had nothing to do with how positive my thoughts were or not, you know? And so it was like, there was a lot of like self, and I think it just like contributed to like my self-hate at some point, because I was like blaming myself for all of the things that had happened to me. I like told myself that I like chose my whole childhood and things like that, because it was like, yeah, this was the lesson. And I do believe to some degree, like it was, you know, the lessons that I get to learn in this lifetime, I learned through those things and I have taken a lot of like meaning and value out of them. But I don't believe that I brought those things upon myself anymore. Yeah. Whereas like really deep in the spiritual stuff, I was like, oh, I chose this, so I must accept this and I must be okay with this. And, you know, and so it led to like a lot of unhealthy patterns with myself as well.
Yeah. Wow. No, like that is so relatable. And that's one of the things that really opened my eyes when it came to like being in organized religion. Like I grew up Christian, but as I was growing up, like we weren't super devout. We went to church every once in a while, but I didn't really get into church like that until my 20s. And it was at a point where I was very like, you know, depressed and kind of suicidal and like didn't know what I had, you know, I didn't feel like I had any kind of purpose. I just felt different and like I didn't hit certain marks at a certain time. So I went to church and I got involved with the church, and it was a Christian church. It was more of a like a non-denominational, where it's like, oh, you know, it's a younger crowd and they're not wearing, it's not like Southern Baptist. Like it looks a lot more accepting. They play more modern music and blah, blah, blah. So it really resonated with me. And then there's a lot of things about at least like the teachings of Jesus Christ that really resonated with me. But the longer I was in the church, the more I started to see, because of my systems-based thinking, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I understand it now. I connected the dots and the patterns. And I was like, I saw that the church was nothing more than a political system with a hierarchy. And I would like have so many questions as to why we did stuff. Like, they would tell you what to do, but you wouldn't always have an understanding of why. And I am someone who needs to understand the why behind the what. I can't just, like, if it doesn't make sense, you know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. I need to understand. And so once I started to be able to find the answers to the why behind the what, I realized that, oh, this system here is in place, just like any political system, to perpetuate a hierarchy that is predicated on the oppression of many to uplift the few. And a lot of their ideologies keep a lot of us, a lot of people, and it's not just Christianity, but this is the one I have the most intimate knowledge of. And I, from a cursory study of other religions, I found a common theme where it's like, you're promised all of these things if you meet a certain standard, because they do a great job at convincing you that you, how you are, is not right. And so everything that is everything about you that deviates from what they deem is correct is something that you need to change about yourself. And that's a good parallel to how the world sees neurodivergent people, especially neurotypicals. It's like, well, you are neurodivergent, you are autistic, because this differs from what we consider normal, and you need to change this aspect of yourself if you want to be accepted. And that's why so many people feel so much shame for so long and keep searching for things outside of themselves, because we've been conditioned to feel that who we are intrinsically is not enough. And the only answer we'll have is outside of ourselves, whether it's a religion, whether it's, the APA or whatever.
Even the same exact organization of religion, I also see in spirituality. I also see in like coaching industry. I see it all over the place, all over the place. I feel like the autistic community is like, one of the spaces that I've found where individuality and like personal expression has been really embraced. And that's one of the reasons why I love the autistic community and autistic people in general, is because like we realize that different is beautiful and it's needed and it's necessary and it should be celebrated and embraced and encouraged, not forced out of us. And questions are so important, and to understand the why and to, you know, feel safe in your seeking to understand something is so vital and important. And those are things that I see missing in religion and school and spirituality even, and even in, like I mentioned, in the coaching industry. I've been in that for a while and I see that all over the place, and I hate it.
Yeah, I'm sure, because, you know, that question why, when you ask why, it intrinsically breaks up a system that's based on hierarchy, because hierarchy depends on you falling in line and you just like not questioning the people at the top. And because we live in a very hierarchical world where almost every system is based on that, that's why. That's what I feel like is the biggest difference between like the autistic community and I don't want to say every community, but most communities that I've been a part of outside of this, is because no matter what, people still try to find their purpose in relation to where they compare to other people. Whereas within the autistic community, we celebrate the fact that we're different. We don't look at other people. And I don't want to call us a monolith, because obviously we have there's always going to be some outliers in there. But from what I've seen and in the community so far that I've been a part of with the actually autistic community, it's very egalitarian. We're not worried about who has this position over this position. It's what do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table? And we're all sitting at the table, all trying to make a meal that we can all eat. Whereas outside of this community, in many other structures, it's okay, you come to the table, but how close to the head of the table can you sit compared to me? And it's like, you're wasting all this energy trying to jockey for power and status, as opposed to using that energy to work collectively together to like progressively move forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see that even in the exchange of ideas and perspectives and information and knowledge. Like when I have been in spaces where it's primarily neurotypical people and we're having a conversation and, you know, opinions and perspectives differ, it gets it just gets shut down really easily because people don't like to have different, you know, like a lot of, they don't like to be questioned and they don't like to be called out on misinformation or have to like reorient and reevaluate their belief systems. Whereas whenever I have found myself in spaces with autistic people where we're doing that, it's like people are really interested in hearing more information. They're deeply interested in their misinformation being corrected so that they can, you know, reevaluate and move forward. And it's like, it's just so much more collaborative and inclusive. And I just feel like there's a lot more listening happening. And of course, this is like, I'm speaking in generalities, but I'm speaking about my personal experience with this. So I'm sure it differs in certain spaces, but yeah, it's something that I have really come to notice and value.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's because a lot of us are very just logical and we have a lot of black and white thinking. It's like, is this right or is this wrong? And so that is a big difference that I've seen between like conversations that I have with other autistic people as opposed to an holistic, especially a neurotypical person. We value the truth. So if someone corrects us and gives us correct information, it's a lot easier for us to be like, oh, wow, and reevaluate and be like, oh, I didn't realize I was incorrect about that. And then not have it be like a personal attack on who we are as a person. Whereas whenever I've had a conversation with an holistic, especially a neurotypical person, and I've had one of my, well, actually moments, it seems like they always get offended. It's like, how dare you correct me? How dare you tell me the truth? There's a lot of confirmation bias amongst neurotypical people where they just want to hear and receive information that's going to confirm what they already believe. And because we're truth tellers and we're very black and white thinkers for the most part, if what you want to hear isn't the truth, we're not going to tell you that. It's like, it's no point in like BSing you and being like, oh, well, yeah, let you just be wrong. And so I found myself in plenty of situations where I was called a know-it-all or like, I'm not a team player, just because I would rather not bullshit people and not go along with the lie that everyone's telling and be like, hey, this actually isn't right. Why are we doing this? But again, going back to why being a controversial question, it disrupts hierarchy. Also, this is my theory. I feel like because so many people don't even realize they're living their lives on autopilot, that sometimes they glitch when you ask them why, because they've never considered why. And now it feels like a threat because it's like this thing that I intrinsically do or that I thought was so important to do, I never questioned why I do it. Now I feel the discomfort of having to sit with this thought.
Now I'm panicking because, holy shit, why do I do that? I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. <It's>
like, yeah.
100%.
It's really crazy to me, but I'm hoping that through these kinds of conversations that we're having and that other actually autistic people are having, that we're able to present, like, one thing that I want to say is that we have an uphill battle when it comes to a lot of things. But I think the first thing that we have to do is to redefine what it means to be autistic from our lens. Because before we do that, before we get people to understand that autism isn't just this one-dimensional thing, it's going to be difficult to get them to listen to us about anything else. And we have so many great ideas and ways to make this a more equitable and accommodating world, not just for us, but for everybody.
Yeah,
but in order to get to that point, we have to first be taken seriously as people. And that's the uphill battle that we're fighting right now. But that I'm hoping that, you know, with people like you, with people like me and other content creators showing what it actually looks like and also expressing our strengths and our struggles, that we can actually make that point come across.
Yeah. Absolutely. I second everything you just said.
Awesome.
You're beginning it too, you know, with this series and this podcast, redefining autistic from an actually autistic lens, like from who we actually are. So thank you for doing that for us.
My pleasure, girlie. It's much needed. And I want to thank you for joining me and being a part of this conversation. Before we go though, I would like to give you an opportunity to, if you have any, you know, closing words, anything you want to share, any thoughts you have to share with the audience, let us know. And then let everybody know where they can find you online.
Yeah, I guess I just want to share a thank you to you for having me on here. It's been so fun, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. And for everyone that's listening, I just want you to know that you're amazing and wonderful exactly as you are. And I hope that you find whatever ways feel best for you to express yourself and be yourself and find people that encourage and celebrate you for exactly who you are. And you can find me, I'm Fierce Liberation across the board. So Instagram, TikTok, my website is Fierce Liberation. So I encourage you to come connect with me, you know, follow along and send messages or book a service, whatever you do.
Awesome. Yes. Highly encourage you guys to make sure you follow Lilith, and I will make sure that I include all the links to her website and social media in the description. I want to thank you guys again for stopping by and spending a little time with me today. I hope you enjoyed. Make sure you leave some comments. Let us know what you think. And I can't wait to have you on again for a future episode because this was so much fun.
I loved it. I can't wait either. I still look forward.
Thank you guys once again for stopping by and spending a little bit of time with me today. I truly hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Again, this is part one. Lilith will be back with me in the new year in January for another conversation on Beyond Deconstructing. In the meantime, you can catch her online at Fierce Liberation on TikTok and Instagram, and her website is also fierceliberation.com. All links will be in the description. As always, you can always find me at deconstructing.neuro on TikTok and Instagram, at decon_neuro on Twitter, if you still use that. I'm also at T Jamaica Pogue on social media as well, tjamaicapogue.com. Join the Soul Tribe over on patreon.com/tjamaicapogue. Get access to additional videos, behind the scene footage from the podcast recordings, polls, lives, and all that jazz, and help support me. I love making this content for you guys, and I can't wait to come back and see you guys here next time. Much love.